Oh man, he's wonderful, isn't he, the Lord? You only have to sing a song and be reminded, and your heart can be transported somewhere amazing. You only have to hear someone pray and their heart is wide open, and you can be transported somewhere that's wonderful. You only have to have a good welcome on the door, and you can be transported somewhere very different. You can have a reading and be stirred by the verses and be transported somewhere amazing. It's a wonderful life, living unto the Lord, isn't it? Being part of a body. There's a huge amount of brokenness out there. If you spend a week in my workplace, you'll find that out. And there's something that aches in your heart that you want people just to come into something of a body, of a loving body, one with another. Looking unto our Saviour. Just wanted to share just a few thoughts this morning about the bread of life, that is Christ himself. There was something that Brian said last week, I was very challenged last Sunday, and he just said about having these broken bits of bread to go out and feed people. Just a little comment that he said, he was in Ephesians, but it really spoke to me. And just this week I've been thinking about who is the bread of life? What impact is that now on our lives and going forward? So I just wanted to really kind of almost go into a conversation that Jesus was having with the Jews, and in particular with the Jewish leaders that had some very stubborn hearts that were unmoved. They did not want to be moved. I've been in that situation before. I did my utmost not to respond to certain things growing up. And then somehow the Lord, through the Father's drawing, comes and he actually starts chipping away at some of our chips on our shoulder, the hard heart, and he kind of replaces it, doesn't he, with something softer, malleable. So I just want to pick up a few verses here. The context is really that the Lord had he'd fed the 5,000, and it wasn't just 5,000, there would have been possibly up to 15,000 there, which is, that is quite a miracle in itself. And he'd gone there and got them all to sit down on the grass and just fed them with the bread and the fish. And as I've read through this chapter 6, and I know we've just had a little section that's been read to us, but it's very hard, you can kind of sometimes lose the context, but read the whole chapter 6, it's incredible. And what was happening is the Lord had fed the 5,000, or you could say 15,000 people. And then after that, he went away and needed time on his own with the Lord, which is a key thing. Twice he does it, and then he walks on water. And you, as you read it, you can almost find that the people are almost trying to search him out and follow his miracles. And I understand that, totally get that. But he was wanting to express something more than just the miracle. He was wanting to express through the break, like the bread being his life being broken for the whole world. There was something deeper going on there, and many were searching just for the very natural things, that they were hungry. And there was a vast supply of bread, and there was some left over. Incredible. There was more. Abundant. So then there almost started to be this crowd that were following Jesus for the reasons of just their natural, I'm feeling a bit hungry today, I could do with some bread. I could do with just that thing, it'll just get me through today. The message underneath all of this was that there's something eternal in the bread of life, Jesus himself. There's something much more than the natural things that we go through. And this group were kind of following him, and they, in some ways it's almost a bit like Jesus goes here, then they follow. Then he goes off and needs some time on his own with the Father. Then they're all saying, where's he gone? We need to follow, where's he? Then the disciples get in the boat and go towards Capernaum and on the sea, and the sea gets rough. Then somehow they realize that Jesus didn't go in that boat, but somehow ends up with the disciples in Capernaum, which is a miracle in itself. He walks on the water. And all this time you can see these people trying to find, where do I get that bread? You know, that miracle you did. I want that bread just to supply my need today. And this story, if you think of the context, is that the Lord Jesus wants to give much more than what we think. He wants to supply and give something eternal that doesn't just go off. And I think this is for the church today. I'll bring in the story of the old manna from the Old Testament as we go forward, and that gives an illustration of something that's old, that's sustained for a time. But the Lord wants to put something in our lives that's of eternity. That's wonderful, isn't it? Does that stir you with a little bit of gladness? Does it bring a bit of joy? Does it help when you're working with a broken heart that's aching and that's confused, that doesn't know what to do with his life? Well, this bread has been broken for us to be able to give out, to pass out to one another. That's wonderful. We have just done that now with communion. Wonderful. Well, the bread of heaven says this: do not labour for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, with the Son of Man, that the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Wonderful. Here's just a little being honest with you here. I accidentally ate my bread before everyone else. So Pete, I'm sorry. I think my mind was thinking about, Lord, would you just somehow speak through this earthen vessel that's nervous and all the different things that goes on, and I just, poof, gone. So sorry, I should have waited. But I'm with you. I am one with you. I hope you're still one with me this morning. Don't kick me out. You're forgiven, as you all should do. Just as an but there's something that's my question this morning is, we've been talking about bread here, but what is your diet in your life? That's quite a personal question, isn't it? And in the last 2 weeks, there's been like a bit of an enforced diet change for me, so I can't have wheat or gluten. And I've just had some bread that I whispered to Helen, has this got wheat in it? And it was too late because I'd already eaten it. So if I start to get passed out or do some strange things, then it's that. But my question, pray for me, thanks Pete. But it's actually been quite relevant in these last 2 weeks that I can't have wheat and gluten for certain reasons, don't need to go into, but I've had a change of diet. And it really spoke to me about what is in your diet in your life today. What is it taken up with? Much of the West is taken up with material things. We want this, we want that. It's instant gratification. The pleasures are abounding in our society now. And at the same time, you could say that the church over here is actually starting to decrease slightly. There's certain age groups that are kind of drifting away. And why is that? Well, I wonder if it's something to do with our diet. We must feast on the Lord Jesus. It says later on in these verses, you must eat and drink of me. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now that absolutely messed with some of the Jews that were there, and they just scarpered off. This is gross. I mean, how can you eat someone? They just thought literally. But it was my challenge today for us as a body. What's in our diet? Who are we eating off? Are we eating off the past manna? Like in the Old Testament years ago? Well, it's never been like that since. Never. It was such a wonderful time. And there's nothing quite like it. You can be nostalgic, can't you? But today, what about today? He's broken his body, given his life today. There's fresh bread today. We've just had communion now, and in a sense it's kind of, it should invigorate. I know it's only a symbol of what's happening, but in the spiritual, in our deepest parts, life has been given today. There is enough to go around today. Well, my enforced change of diet has helped me. and I'm not going to go into details, but oh, can I recommend the diet of feeding on the bread of life? Old things can pass away. I may actually start disappearing slightly as well with a new... And you have to be a lot more clever and read all your packaging and all the different... It's a real change, but it's a good change. Sometimes the Lord breaks in and forces something in our lives and brings us back to the cross. I've noticed it in the weeks past when we've met together, whether it's in a prayer meeting, on Sunday meetings, there's been a new emphasis and a reliance on the cross. I've heard it, I listen to prayers, and I listen to, there's almost been a mood like him, cross being central, the work of the Lord Jesus. It's come through on certain prayers in our meetings. I'm thinking, this is wonderful. The body coming back to him, the head, Christ. What's in your diet? I can recommend a wheat-free one. Very expensive, yeah, very true. How do we practically feast on him, the bread of life? I just wrote down a few things here. Take time alone with him. Twice the Lord just seek the Father, went to the mountain and just had time with him. Can I say a practical thing? Have time alone with him. Do you do that? Do you make time in your week? We're all in busy schedules, many of us, but take time alone with him. Number two, meditate on his word. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, it says, isn't it? There was almost a breaking in that, and it was going out and being shed out. That's something I would recommend, meditate on his word. If you're someone like me who has to keep reading it, and keep reading for something to drop in, I recommend that. If you're someone that actually struggles with reading, you can have audio. And I've someone just saying those, and I've said before, I've got David Suchet doing the New Testament. So I've got Pyro? Just on CD, listening to anything, okay? He doesn't have the accent. Number three, communion and fellowship with him and one another, and good relationships. Just thinking about those youngsters away there this weekend. Oh, for good relationships. Who do you fellowship with? I know sometimes you have to draw a line with the lightness and darkness so they cannot fellowship together. Sometimes that comes into a very practical way of a relationship. And I know just in the past that sometimes you can just go too far the other side, becoming so friendly that actually you're going into realms that will drag you down. Good friendships. I've just put here, it was a watershed moment in Jesus' ministry. After claiming to be the bread of life and to eat and drink of me, in verse 60 to 66, it says many of his followers abandoned him. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" This is verse 60. When Jesus knew in himself his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" Question. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. And there's something about this whole chapter 6 that many just looked upon the miracle, many looked upon just the experience of what was happening, but didn't actually truly believe after that. And I wonder if that can sometimes happen in our own lives, where you just actually, I've chatted to people, I think it was last summer I had an interesting chat with a gentleman where He was basing his faith on everything that had gone before and all about how high the experience was. So in his church setting, it was how, and it was all pretty much based on Acts and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And if nothing ever reached that again, then we are pretty much rubbish. And I was thinking, wow, I live a fairly mundane but joyous life where I have to work possibly 10 hours a day. I have to become a taxi service to the kids. I do look forward to meeting up with you in various forms, but you have to do the ordinary things in life. But if you base your faith on this thing up here, it can be, oh, it can be a real hindrance. There is incredible life just in the ordinary, just in the simple broken bread, where we go and do the simple things in our life, where we rub shoulders with the very hurt, very broken people. When you may just feel that you've just not got a little crumb to give them. Give them that crumb. Give them that little crumb. And I tried to reason with this man saying, no, don't base it upon that there. Today is the day of salvation. Today there's enough bread for you today. And it's eternal. It has eternal purposes. The danger is with Christians, we can often go down the whole route of comparisons. We can compare with the manner of the Old Testament. We can compare with a brother or sister's life and how well they're doing. And then we can sometimes forget that the Lord has a piece of bread for you today that is well enough. Are you following me? I hope I make sense. It is one of the first of the I Am's, the great I Am's. I'd love to go through all the I Am statements. There's about 7 or 8, depending on who you... Well, some people say 8, but they're incredible statements, the I Am's. I am the bread of life. Interesting, this little conversation. This really is a conversation in Capernaum. And it's in a synagogue, and interestingly, in verse 28, just go to verse 28, chapter 6. Then they said to him, to Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Interesting, one of the first things that they wanted to do was for their own glory. What is it that I can get in on this act and do some things that people will see? That can be a temptation, can't it? I've put in here, I've just written in my Bible here, no faith. A little illustration, going for the works but not have faith. They were following Jesus around all for his miracles and the things that were being done, but they lacked the faith to believe that there was something eternal going on. Then Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? And I'm thinking, what a cheeky question. After all the Lord had done, and they're still asking, would you show us something else? Show us another sign that I might believe. I'm thinking, oh, I want to approach him, and this can come into our lives today, but I want to approach him more on this scale here, where I'm coming from a slightly lower angle and saying, Lord, I just want the piece of bread for me today. Just to get through today, it's something eternal. They almost had this attitude of, I want to see another sign, then I'll believe. Feed maybe 30,000, not just the 5. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Great correction there. Another little reminder that it wasn't from man. It was from God. All from him. You know, I think 4 of the most offensive words that you can say in this day and age is, in the beginning, God. in the context in which we live now in the West, they are the most offensive words that you can say. In the beginning, God. And here's a great reminder. I counted all the times in this chapter the word Father. Father, Father, over 6 times, just Father. It was the Son saying that the Father is the one that gives. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Wonderful. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. What was in their thoughts when they were asking that question? Was it that it would just get my tummy sorted and I'd be on my way again, doing the things I need to do? And they couldn't quite get the thing of something eternal was going on here. The Lord wanted a relationship with those people. Jesus again said, I am the bread of life, verse 35. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I think almost the hunger starts to disappear when you come to the Lord Jesus. It's in that thing of making that move and coming to the Lord, even in that walk and approaching him, that I think the hunger almost starts to dissipate. And then it goes on. And then it gets to this, if you just go through with me now, and in your Bible it may say this, on verse 41, he said, on my Bible it says, rejected by his own. This is where the Jews rejected the Lord. They couldn't get this phrase, I am the bread of, they said, well, this is Joseph's son here, verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? You can see they're grappling again logically and literally as well. Logic and literal things. Well, we live in a day and age now where people are making up their own false realities anyway. Yeah, they're making up their false realities. So it goes by how they feel today. I feel like this, so I am this. It's a huge, huge issue. So actual reality is being kicked out the window. They are making up things and then it's absolutely crazy. And then it goes on. I have come down from heaven. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It's an interesting thing that, isn't it? That there was murmurings going on. Just come with me. If you've got your Bible, Exodus chapter 16. It's going to get really exciting now. Exodus chapter 16. You probably know it's the story of the bread from heaven. Just keep that thought in your mind about those in the New Testament that were murmuring. Okay, and it says this, chapter 16. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation, the children of Israel, came to the wilderness of Sin. Interesting that place, isn't it? The wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained. I've lined it twice in my Bible. See, in the New Testament, they were murmuring. They were complaining. In the Old Testament, they all complained. Any complainers in here? Honesty. Who's complained? Who's murmured about things? You guys are amazing. Oh, hang on a minute. There's a few hands coming up, and then there's like, oh, is it wrong to be? Being really honest, there's times when you can have those murmurings. There's time when there's been a little complaint. Lord, forgive me. You may have one after I finish speaking. But what I realise is it can actually go into this place of, which I describe now as the wilderness of sin. Complaining can go into bitterness. Bitterness is a place that you do not want to be in. Amazing the conversations I've had with folks that have had some experience of hurt in church, and it does happen. But then after I've spoken to them, I realised that it was 35 years ago. Oh, Lord. Lord, bring healing. Bring healing into those places. In the story in the Old Testament, just before in chapter 15, they landed, the children of Israel landed near this water. It was bitter water. Then the Lord cut this tree down. They got this tree cut down. And the water, the bitter water, went to sweet water. And they drank of it. And the Lord wants to do that in situations that we're in today. He wants to bring his life. There's life in that tree. You could even say it's a cross. And it can come into the bitter waters and bring a sweetness, and we can drink on it. So we have the bread and the water. Anyway, all the children of Israel complain. And then in verse 4 it says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. What grace and mercy from God. And the people should go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. There's testing. There was testing when the Lord fed those 5,000. He wanted them to follow him. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord. As I was reading that, I was thinking darkness and light. He brings us out of darkness and brings us into a wonderful light, which is his glory. Wonderful. Can I recommend it this morning? Then verse 11, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. You know that the Lord hears our complaints against one another. Do you know sometimes you forget? I forget that sometimes. If you've got a bit of a murmur, a bit of a grumble. I remember Les Wilden saying, he hears it all. Oh, to encourage one another. Oh, to encourage. I have heard the complaint of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. What a diet. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Back to the New Testament. I just want to finish with this thing. Our time's nearly there, but I've not gone to my notes. But there was a bit that I just grappled in my mind about, what is this thing about whoever, in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And it kind of got me thinking about what really is that? What is the eating of the flesh? The drinking of the blood? I mean, it took me to the cross. I was thinking about the Lord's life was broken for us first. Is it like a picture of his sacrificial life? I think there's something in that there, you know, that he was broken for us. If you think about Gethsemane alone, we sing a hymn, don't we? Lest we forget Gethsemane. It was a place of crushing. That's what Gethsemane means. It means a place of crushing. It's where they got the oil or the olives and they pressed them all down in a big vine press, and then from that oil flowed. And it was the place where the Lord, I think, there was deep anguish in his heart in that place. And I think that was a picture of this broken bread. So what is it to eat the flesh and drink? I think it's just to partake of his life. And I had to go to one of those big thick books that's on your, well, kind of a concordance, commentary, you know. They are okay to use sometimes, depending on who it is. But it says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. The Hebrew idiom refers to the total person of Christ and commitment to Him alone. It means being joined with Him and His life. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. That's all I want, is just to be joined with Him each day and to know His bread in my life. Do you want that this morning? Maybe you've become quite distant to it. Maybe you've become hard. Maybe you've become, in a sense, I'm not sure if I believe it anymore. I see so much hurt and suffering. Well, the Lord saw much hurt and suffering. And through it, He brings bread and life. It should encourage us to pray for those that are in our families that don't know the Lord, that the Father can draw them to His Son. Those amongst us, even this morning, the Father is drawing to the Son. We can pray more and more. I hope I get this right. Go with me on this. But I was so blessed. I was listening to Edna's Thanksgiving service the other week, and I was at work, and I tuned on via Zoom, and there was lovely kind of eulogies about Edna's life, and something just stuck with me, and it may have been you, Linda, that said it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was just on the last day before she went to be with the Lord, that she was in her room, and they could hear her talking, and I think someone had gone in the room, and she just had her hands up. Is that right? Someone, I think either Chris or Linda. Chris, not sure Chris. But it so spoke to me that she was in that place of being with the Saviour, and that she'd been given that bread in her life in such a wonderful and simplistic way. She was a lady that, when we first moved up, if you had a bit of a, I don't know, if you had a bit of a bad day or something, and she was here on the Monday, she had a look that would just diffuse anything in you, that this is life, just enjoy. She had that thing about her. She had a look that would disarm anything of yourself that was like a little bit, I don't know, not angry, but a bit, you know. She was wonderful, but I just heard that and it really gave me a little step off. Keep going, Mark. Keep going. And I thought about Charles Wesley in his last few words. It says this. This is, while he remained in a state of extreme feebleness, and having been silent and quiet for some time, he called Mrs. Wesley to him and requested her to write the following lines at his dictation. This is a man that wrote so many songs, but right at the end was just quiet. And it says this, in age and feebleness extreme, who shall a sinful worm redeem? Jesus, my only hope thou art, strength of my failing flesh and heart. Oh, could I catch one smile from thee and drop into eternity? Oh, Lord, there's much bread in his life. Dear Edna, on those last moments, I believe, was just there in that place of, oh, could I catch a smile from thee? Wonderful. Let's finish. Our time's gone. Sorry, our time's gone. I'll just pray and maybe ask you that question again. What's in your diet? What's it made up of today? Does it have the bread of life in it? Even with all my allergies, I still want that bread of life. Don't just rely on that manna in the old that was just for a nourishment for a time, but the Lord wants something more eternal. Maybe you just need encouragement for those in your families that don't yet know the Lord. Today there's bread that's been broken for you and I, and He wants us to feast on Him. Lord, we love You this morning. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to us in so many ways. Lord, we simply, like Edna, Lord, in that last time, we just, in some ways, our hearts are just raised to You, Lord. Lord, even just a crumb, Lord, would do enough for us today, Lord. We love you for your presence. We love you for bringing life, Lord, to the world. Lord, we worship you and thank you. Amen, Lord.